a comforter. And He is living within our heart, our lives. He's within us. And He's that comforter the Lord promised to give to not only His disciples then as He talked with them, but to all of us that belong to the Lord, the Holy Spirit of God. And that's what we're going to be dealing with tonight, the comforter that is spoken of in the Scripture. I've preached a lot of messages on the comforter and the different things, but tonight I want to look at verses John chapter number 15. We'll begin in verse number 26. John chapter number 15, we'll begin in verse number 26, and then we'll read down into chapter 16 through verse 15. We'll just read that straight through. And there's a lot of confusion on the Holy Spirit, a lot of confusion in this world, a lot of different ideas. But I think if we take the Scripture, we'll have a good view of what the Bible gives us. And of course, we will not be exhaustive tonight. The Bible has a lot of things to say about the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the Comforter. And we'll just touch on the hem of the garment, but we'll look at this person that's called our Comforter. John chapter 15, verse number 26, the Word of God reads, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. These things have I spoken unto you, that you might that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, and the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doth God service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not to you at the beginning, because that I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for me, that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. If I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of the world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear that ye shall speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you." Here the Lord is speaking to His disciples concerning His departure. He's talking to them. He says, "It's expedient for you that I go." He said, "It's good for you that I leave." He said, "Because if I don't go, then the Comforter will not come. But if I leave, then," he said, "I'll send you another Comforter." In these verses tonight, we find a lot of things that tells us about the Holy Spirit. Verse number 26, the first verse that we read, it says, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father," and here is the very important thing that we need to know about the Holy Spirit, first and foremost, even the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit is that one that guides us into all truth. He is the one that helps us and directs us, and He drives us toward things in our life that are truthful, and He's always bearing witness, not of Himself, but He bears witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people today, they talk a lot about the Holy Spirit. They magnify, they really make the Holy Spirit almost the biggest part of the Godhead. But really, the Holy Spirit does not draw attention to Himself. The Holy Spirit is that one that points people to the Lord. He is the one that testifies, and Jesus, even in our words tonight that we read, Jesus said, He is the one that testifies of me. And it's sort of like when you read the Word of God, or you hear the preaching of the Word of God, it's the Holy Spirit that accompanies that, that guides us and helps in our minds to comprehend what's being read about or comprehend what's being said, and just helps us to be guided to truth. Now, the Holy Spirit will never guide us in opposition to the Word of God. The Holy Spirit's always in connection and in conciseness with the Word of God. And so when someone tells you the Spirit of God told them to do something, and you know it's not that way in the Bible, you can be assured that it wasn't the Holy Spirit that guided them, because the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, He will guide us to all truth, for He is the Spirit of truth. In our reading tonight, two times, He is identified as the Spirit of truth. And so, therefore, these are the words of Jesus, and so we understand, we know that the Holy Spirit, that Comforter that's going to come, that was coming to these disciples and has come to us, He is that Spirit of truth. And I want us to look tonight just a little bit in chapter 14, 15, and 16 here of the Gospel of John concerning the Comforter. And that's another term for the Holy Spirit. This is one of His offices. This is what He does. He comforts us. He strengthens us. The song that we just had you just sing, The Comforter Has Come, there, page number 82 in their song book, it says, let every Christian tongue proclaim the joyful sound, the Comforter has come. And it goes on and says, the Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise given, oh, spread the tidings round, wherever man is found, the Comforter has come. And the Comforter is that one that guides us and directs us to the knowledge of our sin nature and who we are, and makes us understand that we're lost, that we need God. And if it was not for the Holy Spirit, we would never come to know the Lord. It is that Holy Spirit that draws us and woos us and brings us to the very presence of the Father, and presents to us and testifies to us that Jesus Christ is the Savior. And that's the job of the Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of truth. Now in John chapter number 14, and we'll read verse number 16, and notice a couple things here about this Holy Spirit. And we find in verse number 16 of John 14, Jesus says, and I pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. There's two things here in this one verse about the Holy Spirit. First of all, He's the Comforter that will replace the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I pray to the Father, and I will send you another Comforter. Up until this time, and through the ministry and the walk of the Lord Jesus Christ, the disciples, the only thing they knew about the work of the Lord and the things of God was what Jesus had proclaimed to them, the messages that they had heard, the miracles that they had observed, and all the conversations that we'd have no idea everything that was said. The Bible does not give us everything that the Scripture that Jesus did, and some of the conversations that He and His disciples had, we don't have all that. But John says if all those things were written down, that the world wouldn't even be able to contain the volumes of the books. And so there's many things that we do not have. And while Jesus was with them, He was the one that guided them. He was the one that strengthened them. He was the one that gave them instruction. He's the one that gave them correction. He's the one that brought them to places where that they would have to make decisions of their own and have some responsibility to serve God and to be what they should be. And the Lord was their Comforter. He said, come to me, all you that labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I'll give you the comfort. And so the Lord had been their Comforter all through their ministry and all through their early Christian life, as the Lord had called them from different places. And I personally believe these disciples came out of the ministry of John the Baptist, and John had taught them, and John had given them things, and the Lord would come along and say, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And John said, I must decrease, he must increase. And so John saw his crowd dwindling because he was preparing the way for the Lord. And the Lord would come, and they would follow after him, and he would put them in positions, and he was their comfort. But here in this verse, Jesus now is coming to the close of his ministry, close to the end of his earthly sojourn, and he says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. And so here we find the comforter will replace the Lord for the believer, and he will be that comforter that takes the place of Jesus Christ. And I don't mean he takes his place in that he oversights and oversees and overrules the Lord, but he is the one now that is going to be the comfort to the children of God. I'm glad tonight that I have the Holy Spirit that lives in my heart. And he's the one that helps me in problems. He's the one that strengthens me. He's the one that guides us. He's the one that teaches us, because he is the Spirit of truth. And so, therefore, we have that Holy Spirit that Jesus said, I'll send you another comforter. I'm glad I have the Lord in my heart, but I'm glad I have the Spirit of God also to help us and to strengthen us. He has replaced the Lord in some areas, and he is that comfort. He is that guide for the child of God. And the Bible says here, in that verse that we read there in verse chapter 14, verse 16, the latter part of the verse says, and the comforter that he may abide with you forever. What a wonderful promise that is, that the Holy Spirit, when he moves in our heart, he's there. He doesn't come in and leave. He doesn't go off somewhere else. Now, in the Old Testament, the Bible tells us that the Spirit of God would come upon an individual or a man, the prophets or some of the kings, and the Spirit of God would come upon them for a particular purpose, and then the Spirit would leave them. The Old Testament believer, the Old Testament child of God, did not have the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would come and go, but when we come to the New Testament, Jesus said, I'm going to give you another comforter, and he's going to abide with you forever. He's going to be there, and he's not going to leave. And thank God, when you get saved, he moves in, and he brings all the baggage that he has. We don't get a part of salvation. We don't get a part of God. We don't get a little part of the Holy Spirit, and we want something else and need some other blessing. No, when we get saved, we get all the Holy Spirit there is, and he's there to help us and to guide us. He's there to strengthen us. He's there to comfort us. Have you ever had a time when nobody could help except God? Have you ever had a time when no one, it doesn't matter what words were said, doesn't matter how kind people were, there were some things that only the Lord could help you with, and he does that through the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'm going to pray to the Father, and he'll send you another comforter, and he's going to abide with you forever and forever. Thank God he's with us, he's in us, and he's for us. He's our helper, he's our guide, he's our strength. So he tells us here that he's going to give us a comforter. That means he's with us. So verse 17 says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. The world doesn't know anything about the Holy Spirit. They may think they do, but the world does not have any idea about the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. Thank God tonight, as a believer, you and I, we know the Holy Spirit. We have an acquaintance. We have a relationship. It says, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. There's the work, there's the position of the Spirit of the Lord. He's with us, he's in us, and thank God he's for us. And he'll help us in every process of time of life that comes on. I'm glad he's my comforter. When problems arise, when difficulties come, it's always good to have somebody to give you a kind word. Everybody desires that. Everybody needs that. It's good to have friends that we can depend upon, and we know they'll help us. We know they'll give us words that will strengthen us. But I'll tell you what, there's nobody like the Holy Spirit. There's nobody like the Comforter. There's no one that can take His place. And so when He comes with us, He comes in us, and He's there to help us. And He is that Comforter that not only replaced the position of the Lord as Comforter, but now He's going to remain. He's there forever and forever. When I got saved, I got the Holy Spirit. He moved in my heart. And when I go to heaven, He'll go with me. You say, that's just a part of Him? No, that's all of Him. And you've got just as much of Him as I got. And when we got saved, we had the Holy Spirit move in. We had the Holy Spirit come into our life. Verse 17. The world doesn't understand it. They can't receive Him because they don't know Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you. If somebody dwells with you, you know them pretty well. If somebody dwells right next to you, you know some their movements, you know some things about them. And then the Lord goes on and says, not only does He dwell with you, He's dwelling in you. He's took up His residence, and He's there for us. That's why the Bible says that our bodies are not our own now. We've been bought with a price. And that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. That's where He dwells. That's where He lives. Somebody say, oh, I'd like to see God. I'd like to feel the Lord. Well, you have the Holy Spirit. You have Him in your heart. And He's there, active, and wants to do those things. And He's there and will never, never depart and will never leave. Thank God that's a comfort, even that in itself. It's not dependent upon how good I am, because I'm not very good. It's not dependent upon how many good works we do and how many good things we accomplish, because we do not do very much good. Isaiah said all of our righteousness, all of our goodness is nothing but filthy rags compared to His righteousness. And so everything that I do is nothing, but thank God He lives in me and He is my helper. That's a comfort just in itself, knowing that He doesn't judge me day by day whether or not He's going to stay with me. I'm glad I don't have to live that way. I'm glad I got saved, and the Bible talks about an eternal salvation. And the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in our heart, and He's there, as Jesus said, He's going to abide with you forever. Now, if you can get anything else than everlasting and eternal out of forever, go find another dictionary, because I don't think you'll do it. And so we find that He moves in, we get saved, He's our comforter, that will remain, and then chapter 16, He's also that comforter that will reprove. Not only did He take the place of the Lord as comforter, not only will He remain forever, but here we find in these verses that He is the reprover. The Bible says in verse number 9, when He is come. That's talking about the Holy Spirit, because verse 7 says, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter, we already know He's the Spirit of truth, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come, that word He refers back to the Comforter. When He is come, He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. The Holy Spirit of God reproves the sinner because he rejects the Son of God. He is the one that convicts. He is the one that convinces. And He is the one that brings about a conviction in our heart that we need God. We need the Lord. And we need salvation. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. You see, the Father is the one that offers His Son. Jesus died for us. And the Holy Spirit says, come. The Holy Spirit is the one that says, here's what you need. Let me explain to you. He's that one that's in our life that explains to us. He's the Spirit of truth. He gives us, even as lost sinners, He gives to us understanding of what sin is and understanding of what we need. And He begins to open our hearts. He begins to quicken our minds. And we begin to understand that we need God. And without God, we're going to die and go to hell. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And so He reproves us of sin. He reproves the world of righteousness and reproves the world of judgment. Verse 11 says, because the prince of the world is judged. Thank God He's not going to be judged. He is judged. And just in the process of time, one of these days, the pit of hell will be opened, the lake of fire that burneth forever and ever. Hell's going to be cast into that. There's going to be put a lock on it. And He's gone forever. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. Thank God we have one that will take care of every need. He's the comfort that reproves. We know what reproof is. If we make a mistake, if we do something wrong, if you go out of here tonight, go home about 80 miles an hour, you probably might get reproved. You might see a few lights flashing, not Christmas tree lights, but they'll be flashing, and that fellow will reprove you. I've had a few of those, and probably all of us have had some of those. And I know we've come back out of Montana, and Brother Glenn Holman, he said, now, it doesn't matter how fast you go in Montana. Well, I found out I proved that wrong. And then Brother Rodney Proctor was out there, and he said, you get in Wyoming, and they won't bother you. Well, they do bother you. There's reproof. They say, just straight, narrow, straight, stretch, no hills, no, nothing. You can just go whatever, pretty much what you want to go. Well, I was. All of a sudden, there was a little rise. I saw these two bubbles coming up. I just pulled over because I knew I'd been had. And the policeman got out of the car. He said, "Where are you going in such a hurry?" I said, "See those license plates?" He said, "Yeah, you're from Kentucky." I said, "That's where I'm going." And I think he gave me a $10 ticket, so it wasn't too bad. But the Holy Spirit reproves us when we do wrong. He says, "Don't do that." When we break the rule of the Lord and we do not live for God and we're not serving God, the Holy Spirit, that, remember now, He lives in our heart. So everywhere I go, I take Him. Everything I do, He knows. Every word I say, He hears. And He reproves me sometimes, say, "You shouldn't have done that. Shouldn't have said that. Shouldn't have acted that way. You know better than that." That's the work of the Holy Spirit, to reprove us of our wickedness and our sin. And thank God for that, because if we didn't have a reprover, we'd just live like we want to live. And somebody said, "Well, you're saved. You ought not want to." Well, all my wonder hadn't been fixed yet. I'm still in the flesh. I still have a problem with this old body of clay. I still have difficulty. I still have sin. I still have desires. I still have all those things. But the Holy Spirit says, "No, you don't need that. No, don't do that. No, you shouldn't have done that." And He's that one that reproves us of sin, and He's judged the world. Now, the Holy Spirit, not only is He a reprover, but He's a revealer. In verse number 13, here again He is called the Spirit of Truth. It says, "Howbeit when He, the Spirit of Truth," that word "He" refers back to the Comforter, "when He, the Spirit of Truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself." You be very careful about this crowd that runs around that's always elevating the Holy Spirit. Because He doesn't speak of Himself. He points the world to Jesus. He is the one that dictates the thoughts toward the Lord Jesus Christ. "He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself. But whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come." He's going to reveal you all truth. He's going to give you the facts. If you want to know some facts tonight about the righteousness of God, get in the book and the Holy Spirit will help you with it. Find some good things to read and find some things. And there's nothing wrong with reading scriptural helps and Bible helps of what other people have done. There's nothing wrong with studying what somebody else says until they go wrong here. Now, if they go wrong in the book, if they're not right with the Scripture, then you can just take that out and throw it away, because this is final authority. This is the book that's right. But I thank God for some folks that have studied and they have some understanding and some truth, and I can read that, and the Spirit of Truth, the Spirit of God, will guide me. He will give me the facts. He will help me. And the Scripture says here, He'll guide you into all truth. What, if we want to know something, and I believe if we're sincerely desiring God to give us truth, you know what? I believe the Holy Spirit will do that. He'll guide you into all truth and help us with those things. He'll give us facts about right now. But here in our verse 13, He's going to take care of things to come. We can know a little bit about the future. I don't have to go to somebody reading tarot cards. I don't have to go to somebody behind a veil. I don't have to go behind in some dark alley to find out what the future is. The Holy Spirit's already has shown us some things of the future. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I know what's going to happen. I don't know who it's going to be, but I know there will be an Antichrist. I don't know all the details about it, but I know enough because He's given me what I need to know in the Bible. And the Holy Spirit says that here, just watch what's taking place. It does not surprise me, and it should not surprise any of us that are versed in the Bible and know some things about the. It should not surprise us what's going on in this world. It ought not surprise us that the world hates Israel. It ought not surprise us that the world is a hater of right things and good things, because this book has already revealed it to us. The Holy Spirit says, here's what's going to happen. Here's how it's going to take place. And He don't give you all the details, but He gives us enough to know the signs of the times. He gives us enough to know where we're living. And I believe we're living at the brink of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe He's right on the horizon. I believe He's coming. And it could be tonight. Could be before we finish the service tonight, we might be out of here. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Get us out of all this problem. As John said on the Isle of Patmos, even so come, Lord Jesus. I think he said, come quickly. And the Lord said, I come quickly. And John said, now's a good time. We live in a terrible world. We live in a wicked world. And the Holy Spirit reveals to us truth about now and about things to come. Look in verse number 26 of chapter 14. We're just in these three chapters here tonight on the Comforter. Chapter 14, verse number 26. But the Comforter, now he really identifies him here. We know exactly who he is. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Those teachings that Jesus gave the disciples, many of them, they just did not understand. They didn't understand that Jesus had to die up until the very last moment. Jesus had told them and told them. He had conveyed those thoughts to them from the very beginning. But yet they just could not understand that. But here in these verses, we find that the Comforter is going to remind us. He says here that He's going to come in my name and He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Have you ever had something that you really need to remember when you're talking to someone and all of a sudden it's just there? I believe that's the Holy Spirit. I've talked to people and there was no way that I could quote the verse. There's no way I could have found the verse. But there's been times that when you're talking to somebody, all of a sudden you're saying the verse and you don't even know where it is, but it's the Word of God. And it's something that you've read, it's something that you've studied, and you know what? You know what the Holy Spirit's done then? He's brought it to your remembrance. He's helped you to convey the thoughts of God. He's that one that is there to remind us. John 15, 26, where we read, he's going to remind us of the Father. We testify of me. It says here in verse number 26 where we read, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. The Holy Spirit testifies of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives testimony in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus. He reminds us of all that he's done, the promises of God and the things that the Lord has given to us. And John 14, 27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. How does that work? How can we not be afraid in this world? We have the Holy Spirit. See, the Bible says that men's hearts shall fail them when they see all the things coming upon this earth. They don't have the Comforter. And their hearts fail them for fear. Their hearts fail them, the stress. Brother, we live in a powder keg world, stress-filled world. No wonder blood pressures go out of sight. No wonder we suffer with some of the things that are related just to stress. When I'm stressed out, I realize it. I know it. And I can tell it when I prick that finger with a blood sugar. I understand that, and the stress is there. But I'm glad I have a Comforter, and He can take care of that. He can help me. And He can give me, and He helps with all those things. He reminds us of the promises of the Lord. Not only that, thank God, He responds to us. Turn over to this in Romans. Book of Romans, chapter 8. Tremendous chapter. In verse number 26, we've already identified that the Comforter is the Holy Ghost. He's the Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of truth. He's the Spirit of righteousness. He's the reprover. He's the one that reveals. He's the one that reminds. We've already seen all those things. But notice in Romans chapter 8, and verse number 26, He will respond. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Now notice what they are. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Have you ever had a time you just really didn't know how to pray for someone? Have you ever had a time where you just didn't have the words? The heart was there, the need was there, but somehow it just wasn't where we could say anything. And here the Lord identifies that as some of our infirmities, spiritual infirmities. The Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Now notice this next statement. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit makes intercession for us. Who does He intercede for? Where does He intercede? He's doing it for us, but where is it? I believe it's before the throne of God. He makes intercession for us. He helps. He even knows our groanings. We can't utter the words. We can't speak. We don't know what to say. But He takes our groanings and brings them to the throne. And He makes intercession for us. Intercessory prayer. That's praying for somebody else. And I'm glad, thank God, we have the Holy Spirit that helps us, that prays for us. In our weaknesses, Ephesians chapter 4 tells us that He responds to our worldliness. We all are worldly. He responds to our willful ungodliness that we have in our life. He responds to us and He's there to help us. I'm glad tonight we have a comforter. And we've just touched a few things. But there's one last thing that I want us to think about. In 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, we have some verses here that deal with the day of the Lord and the coming of the man of sin or the Antichrist. We have some verses that deal with last days or last times. And it talks about the Holy Spirit. Now you see, the Holy Spirit has been active all of history. God said, "Let us make man in our image." The Holy Spirit was active in that. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Bible says the Spirit of God moved upon the deep. God, the Holy Spirit, God moved and the Spirit has been active all the way through. Every one of us tonight, He was active in our life if we're saved. I'll guarantee you wouldn't be a Christian if it hadn't been for the Holy Spirit. Now we come to the end time. And 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Let's begin in verse number 7. Now remember, the Apostle Paul is writing this about 54, 55 A.D. He's writing to the Christians of Thessalonica. He's writing to people that know the Lord. And he makes these statements. Verse 7 of 2 Thessalonians 2. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Boy, if it was working then, I wonder how it's working now. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Now the word letteth there, it's an old English word that just talk means to hinder. Only he now that hinders, when he's taken out of the way, he's going to be removed. The Holy Spirit now restrains sin. Well, he's not doing a very good job of it. Oh, yes he is. Just wait until he's removed as restrainer. Just wait until the morning after rapture. Just wait until just a few days, a few months after the child of God has been removed. Now, the Holy Spirit is not removed. He's just removed as a restrainer of ungodliness. And we find here that he says, he that now restrains or hinders, he's going to do that until he be taken out of the way. Now, notice what happens when he's taken out of the way. Verse 8. And then shall that wicked, you notice that word wicked there has a capital W, that means personal, a personal name. Till that wicked, we could say wicked one, we could call him Satan or the devil, until that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. That wicked there that is talked about, that wicked one, is that manifestation in the flesh of what we call the Antichrist. The one that is anti-God. And when the Holy Spirit is no longer hindering, he's no longer restraining, He's no longer doing that particular part of his job. When he is removed as that, then that wicked one will be revealed, whose working is after Satan. And it says, whom the Lord shall consume, even with his mouth and the brightness of his coming, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. It's not amazing today, should not be to us, that there are people that have a lot of power. They produce a lot of signs and they have a lot of wonders. But there's one man that's coming on the scene that it's all going to be consumed in. And it's that one called the wicked. Power, signs, lying wonders. Notice verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Why do they perish? Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. There was an opportunity that they could be saved. There was a time they heard the gospel. There was a time they said no to God. Now they're going to be confused. Now there's going to be problems. And the Bible says, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion. Now, they had their opportunity. They received not the truth, the love of the truth, that they might be saved. So therefore now, it's not the devil that does it. God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie and not the truth. That's going to take place in what we call tribulation. I believe we see there's a lot of delusional people right now. There's a lot of people that believe anything. There's a lot of folks that if you start something new, they'll put right there with you and say, "That's okay. It's all right with me. It sounds good to me." We're in a process of delusion right now. And the Lord says here that God shall send them strong delusion that they should be a lie, should believe a lie. Notice here that they all might be damned. Why are they damned? Is it God that damns them? No. They all might be damned who believe not the truth. They didn't believe God. But God says, that's enough. They didn't trust the Lord. They didn't accept Him. So God says, that's enough. They believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now the Holy Spirit, right now, He restrains wickedness and sin. As bad as it is, thank God, He's the restrainer. He doesn't give them a full leadway. He doesn't give them all the rope they want and all the things they need. He restrains them. He pushes them back. He's the rebuker right now, but when it comes that time, He'll not be rebuking of sin. He'll just say, there you are. And God will send them strong delusion. They'll believe a lie. Somebody says, how in the world will the rapture take place and this world not be confused? Well, the world's confused without it. I don't know how it'll happen. I don't understand it. Don't even think about trying to have the details. But I do know one thing. God can send delusion and they'll believe a lie. They won't believe the truth, but they'll believe a lie. The Jew wouldn't accept the Savior. They wouldn't accept the Messiah, but they'll accept the Antichrist. And he'll be the worst thing that's ever happened to the nation of Israel. He'll be worse than Hitler. He'll be worse than Mussolini. He'll be worse than any of those folks, any of those leaders across the history, time of history that has been against the Jew. The Antichrist will be 10 times worse. And they'll believe him. He's our Messiah. He's promised us to have peace and safety. And all of a sudden, destruction comes upon them. I'm glad to not have the Holy Spirit. He lives in my heart. Not going anywhere. Only place he goes is where I take him. And may God help us to understand and just say, God, help us. Lord, give us these things that we need and have the understanding of the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of things we could say. Take a lot of weeks to get through all of it. The Holy Spirit's a great study in the Word of God. Tonight we just looked at him. One little facet. He's our comforter. Isn't it good to have somebody say, I'll comfort you. I'll take care of you. I'll help you. I'll put my arm around you and I'll draw you close. That's the job, one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit. Let's stand together tonight.